Welcome to the King's Church podcast. We are an ACC church based on the Gold Coast in Queensland, Australia. We'd love for you to join us on any given Sunday. In the meantime, we hope this message blesses you.
Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to read Philippians chapter 3 verses 12 to 14. It says this, "Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." The title of my message today is called "Don't Lose It." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I ask and pray that you help us to be people who will come out of this season victoriously. I thank you and I praise you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. As many of you would know, if you've been watching, I'm doing a series online on the letter of Philippians, and we're calling it Triumph Through Tough Times. The reason why I'm calling it Triumph Through Tough Times is because Philippians is one of the most positive, uplifting letters that the Apostle Paul wrote, yet he wrote it in the midst of the most difficult circumstances. He actually wrote this letter whilst he was actually in prison. And yet whilst he was in prison, he wrote this incredibly faith-filled, uplifting, positive letter. In fact, we can see his personality all through this, how he was continually full of faith, continually full of life, continually full of hope, in spite of the dreadful circumstances he found himself in. And so I felt to do this series in the midst of the current season we're going through right now, because, and many of us are feeling like we're in a situation like the Apostle Paul, that we're confined, that we're isolated. Yet he was able to endure that and come through it with a positive, faith-filled, life-giving attitude. And so I want to talk to you today, and so we've done a number of messages on this topic so far, but I want to talk to you today based out of Philippians chapter 3. And it's called, the title of my message is called "Don't Lose It." Because in Philippians 3, 12 to 14, we could see four things that the Apostle Paul maintained and did not lose in the midst of his isolation and in the midst of his imprisonment. And so I believe that we can learn from him around these things to help us endure, to come through, to come out of this season and be full of life and joy and strength, even though, like the Apostle Paul, many of us are enduring a really difficult time right now. And so I want to talk to you about four things that the Apostle Paul didn't lose, four things that the Apostle Paul maintained in the midst of his incarceration. The first thing was this. It says in Philippians 3, 12 to 14, he says, "Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I don't count myself to apprehended. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." So see that? He said in verse 12 that lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. He says in verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The first thing that the Apostle Paul didn't lose, the first thing that the Apostle Paul maintained, was actually his faith. He maintained his faith in God. He did not allow the difficult circumstance he found him in to get him to turn his back on God. This is a sign of great Christian maturity. When you can go through a difficult time and make the conscious decision to lay a hold of him and not let go, that's a sign of having great maturity. But not only that, it's actually the key to maintaining that positive, faith-filled attitude. And so he's in this difficult time, yet he didn't lose his faith. I'm sure there would have been lots of temptations for him. First of all, it was actually God that actually sent him to Philippi. And so he was actually going to go somewhere else. He was actually trying, if we look in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul was heading off to Asia. And yet the Holy Spirit stopped him from going into Asia. And then at night, he had a dream of a man from Macedonia. And the man from Macedonia said, "Come over to us." Where is Philippi? It's in Macedonia. And so Paul was going to Asia, but he changed direction because God told him to, and he actually went over to Philippi, which was in Macedonia. He goes to Philippi and he ends up in prison. Have you ever done that? You've done what God wanted you to do. You've obeyed him. You've turned your back on something he told you to turn your back on. Now you've followed him and now you're ended up in a worse situation. That's where Paul finds himself right now. He's in a Philippian jail. I could imagine him thinking, man, I don't think it's worth following God. I think if I'd have done what I wanted to do, I wouldn't be in this situation right now. But notice this, he chose not to turn his back on God. He chose to actually stay with him and because he knew that God would see him through. Church, you would know I've mentioned Psalm 23 many times. It says in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Then it's like, yay, yay, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's like, hold on, I'm just serving the shepherd and following him. Now I end up in this valley. There are times in our lives where we actually do what we felt God told us to do, and for a momentary season, it looks like we've ended up worse off. If you find yourself in a situation like that, I want you to learn the lesson from the Apostle Paul. Don't lose your faith. Hang on to God. Stay true to him. Keep your faith in Jesus Christ, because he's the one who's going to be able to lead you out the other side. That's why it says in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. If you hang on to the Lord, even in the midst of this tough time, he'll help you to actually see you through. I would imagine Paul would not fully understand why he's going through what he's going through. I can imagine Paul would be thinking sometimes to himself, man, if I just had gone to Asia, I wouldn't be in this situation right now. But he kept those things at bay, and he still said that he still maintained his faith in God. You know, when you're going through a tough time, maintaining your faith in God is actually a conscious decision, because your circumstances are trying to pull you away from God. You know, a number of years ago, I was preaching at a church, and I just noticed one of the worship leaders was a young guy, and he was just so joyful when he was leading worship. He was incredible, to the point that after the service, I went up to him. I said, mate, you led worship awesome today. And I said, and you look so happy. And he goes, oh, that's good. He goes, I've had the worst year of my life. I said, what? He said, I've had the worst year of my life. He said, earlier this year, my wife told me that she doesn't love me, that she never loved me, and that she left me. And I said, whoa. I said, I wouldn't have been able to tell by looking at you today. And he said something that I've never actually forgotten. He said, well, when you're in a moment like that, you've got two options. You can either turn away from God or you try and turn to him. And he said, I just made the decision that I'm going to turn to him. And God helped see him through the other side. I know him and I've seen him since, and remarried, got beautiful kids, and his life is going on forwards. But in that moment where it feels like everything's gone wrong, at that moment you've got to make the decision to hang on to the Lord. And that's what Paul did at this time. He's still maintaining his faith in Jesus Christ, even though he may not understand why he's going through what he's going through. And my encouragement, I feel very strongly for some people watching this right now. You've been thinking to yourself, is it even worth it? Is it worth walking on with God if this is what's going to happen to me? I'm here to let you know this is not the end of your story. Just hang on to him. He will lead you out the other side. Don't lose your faith. The second thing that he didn't lose, the Apostle Paul, says in verses 13 and 14 of Philippians 3, brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The second thing that the Apostle Paul didn't lose was his focus. His focus. And his focus was forward. Forgetting that which is behind, reaching forward to that which is ahead. He did not spend his time in incarceration sitting around wondering what went wrong or contemplating or ruining past mistakes or past decisions. He said, forgetting that which is behind. That's a powerful thing for a guy to say who's been unjustly in prison. He didn't even think about retribution. He didn't even think about getting back at people who put him in this situation. He just said, forgetting that which is behind. I'm going to forget it. I'm not going to dwell on it. I'm not going to put my focus on it. And I'm going to put my focus forward. And as you put your focus forward, you'll be able to continue to move forward. You know, one of the worst things you can do is live your life in regret. Forever worried about things that you can't actually change anymore. You know, our life is not designed for us to be looking through the rear vision mirror. That's why when you get a car, you've got a bigger windscreen and you've got a small rear vision mirror. You're not supposed to spend all your time looking in the rear vision mirror. You're supposed to look more time focusing forward. And even though he's in this situation where all his plans were disrupted, even though he's in this situation where all his plans looked like they were awry, he actually moved forward and he put his focus forward and he conscientiously said, I'm going to forget that which is behind. So the second thing that he maintained was he actually maintained his focus. Interestingly enough, it says forgetting that which is behind and reaching forward to that which is ahead. You can't actually move forward until you let go of what's behind. If you're forever focused on the past, you never actually move on. And so he's actually moved on and he still hasn't left prison. But internally, he's already moved on. For some of you watching this right now, it's time to even move on. Don't sit back wondering why you ended up in the situation that you're in right now. Start focusing and start looking forward about the things that are actually to come ahead of you. He did not lose his focus. He didn't give in to looking behind. And if you forever look behind, you'll never be able to move forward. I've told this story to you before, church, about a time when I was a youth pastor. And we actually, one night, I wanted to do a night at youth called a wet and messy night. Now, this is like back in 2001. And this was in Mackay in North Queensland. And so down here on the Gold Coast, you can hire a thing called a horizontal bungee machine. And I wanted to do a horizontal bungee at my youth group. Now, you may have heard of a vertical bungee. You know, someone jumps out of off a bridge or out of a helicopter and they've got a rope tied around their ankles and they hurtle down and it pulls them up. It was that's a vertical bungee. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to do a horizontal bungee. And you can hire them now, but back then, up in North Queensland, you couldn't hire them. So we decided that we were going to make one. And so what we did was we went around to the different bike shops in Mackay and found out that out the back they had all these old bicycle tyre inner tubes that they were throwing out. So we got all these boxes of them, and then we went back to church and we started linking them and tying them together to make these long cords. Then we got some rope climbing harnesses, and we put a rope climbing harness. If you've been rock climbing or anything like that, you use these harnesses. And so we put the harness on the end of the rubber cord, and then we went out onto the oval, and we tied the end of the rubber cord to the goalposts, and then out from the goalposts we actually put a tarpaulin, a plastic sheet, and then on the plastic sheet we put detergent. And we put water, and we put relay running batons. You ever seen a relay race where they pass the baton? We put relay running batons on the end. So basically, picture this in your mind. You've got these posts. You've got a cord tied to it, made out of bicycle tyre inner tubes. You put on the harness, and then you start running. And you run across the grass. And then you run across the tarpaulin, and you start slipping and sliding. And then you're supposed to reach out and try and grab the relay baton. However, because of the way that we had it set up, just as you're about to reach out to get the relay baton, you get pulled back. So it was awesome. We were having a great night at youth. All these kids, they put on these harnesses and they started running and they run across the grass and they get onto the tarpaulin. They reach out, try and grab the baton, pulls them back. It was awesome. Anyway, there's a reason why all those bicycle tyre inner tubes were being thrown out. And it's because they had all these little cuts and nicks in them. And so what happened was one of the guys, whose name is Jared, who's actually in our church now here at King's, he puts on the rope climbing harness and he starts running. And he runs across the grass. He gets onto the tarp. He starts reaching out for the relay baton. And normally at that time, the kids would get pulled back. But as he reached out for it, all of a sudden, the bicycle tyre inner tube snapped, hit him on the backside, and he was able to pick up the relay running baton. All the other kids were unable to reach it because they had this harness and this bungee cord stopping them. But he was able to reach it because the bungee cord snapped. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, 12 to 14, forgetting that which is behind and reaching forward to that which is ahead. Don't allow the things of the past to pull you back. Let them go. Move on. Put your focus forward. Even right now, you have not left your incarceration. You have not left your isolation. You still haven't had a chance to move forward. Put your eyes forward. Fix them forward. Forget about the past and you'll be able to continue to move on. The Apostle Paul, in spite of everything he went through, he didn't lose his focus. The third thing that you need that the Apostle Paul didn't lose, he says, not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. So watch this. He says, not that I've already attained, not that I've already perfected, I haven't apprehended. What is it here that he doesn't lose? He doesn't lose his fervor because he knows he's not finished. He knows there's more for him. He knows he hasn't done everything he's been called to do. He knows that God, even though he's hemmed in and stuck right now, God's not finished with him yet. He's got his eyes forward and he realizes that God's got more for me. He doesn't lose his fervor. He doesn't lose his fervor and he doesn't lose his expectation. He realizes that God's calling me forward. The upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He's not sitting there, sitting on his hands, thinking, well, this is it, it's finished, it's over for me. There's nothing left now. This situation is permanent. He understood that the confinement was not permanent. It was temporary. And there's some people here need to hear this. What you're going through right now is not permanent. Even the effects of what you're going through right now is not permanent. It's just temporary. It's time to lift your faith and lift your fervor and lift your expectation. Just like the Apostle Paul, my eyes are fixed forward. God's got more for me. I haven't apprehended it yet. There's more to come. There's more of God's promises there for me. He maintained his fervor and he maintained his expectation. Without expectation, it's difficult for God to move in your life. That's why it's important to allow God to fill you with life and joy and strength, so that you can continue through even this difficult, troubling time that most of the world is going through right now. That you need to maintain that level of expectation. If you have a level of expectation, you'll be able to draw things and receive things from God. A classic example of this is the story told in two of the Gospels about a woman with an issue of blood. The Bible said she had an internal bleeding condition, which meant that she was unable, which meant that it did not stop bleeding for like 12 years. She'd spent all she had on physicians, didn't get better, grew worse. And then she heard that Christ was in her vicinity. So she took a risk. She stepped out from where she was, which was her comfort zone. And she pursued Christ. She pushed through the crowd to pursue Christ. Interestingly enough, she was not allowed out. Her disease that she had made her richly unclean, but it did not stop her from pursuing Christ. And then as she was pushing through the crowd, she said to herself, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. And so she went and she touched his clothes. And the Bible said that instantly she knew that the internal bleeding had stopped. One translation of the Bible says that virtue had left Christ and gone into her. And so at that moment, Jesus stopped and he said, who touched me? Now he's in a big crowd. He's got people thronging all around him. And he stopped and he said, someone touch me. And his disciples said, Lord, you see all the people around you, heaps of people have touched you. He says, no, someone touch me. Someone touched him with expectation and drew power from him. Hundreds of people touched his garment, but only one touched it with expectation. And in the same way right now, it's time, and I know it was the last series that I'd spoken on before, but now it's a time to continue to allow to get your hopes up. What you're going through right now will pass. What you're going through right now is just a season. What you're going through right now is temporary. Fix your eyes forward. Have a fervor and an expectation that God has got more for you than what you're experiencing right now. That God is going to see you out of this and he's going to take you out the other side. That you're going to come out of this strongly. Let's learn from the Apostle Paul. That even though he was unjustly imprisoned, He did not lose his fervor and he did not lose his expectation. And the last thing that the Apostle Paul didn't lose, and it's something that we don't want to lose either. He says in verse 12 again, "Not that I've already attained or already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." That's powerful. Here he is, and he's pressing. He says, I press on. I press toward. I'm pushing. I'm not sitting back in defeat. I'm not being fatalistic. On the inside, I'm pushing and I'm pressing. I'm lifting my faith. I'm having expectation. I'm pressing. The last thing he didn't lose was his fight. His fight and belief that he would push through and come out of this. I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life where it feels like I've gone through something which completely knocked the wind out of me. I know right now there are a number of people watching this that what's happened to you recently in the last few weeks has completely knocked the wind out of you. It was almost like you were sucker punched. It came out of nowhere. You didn't expect it. And it's knocked the wind out of you. And on the inside, you're feeling like a high level of defeat and feeling hopeless. And here's the Apostle Paul. I would have imagined he could have felt the same way. I'm just going to sit back and ride this thing out. If God wants me out of this prison, then he'll let me out of this prison. But he said, no, no, even in the midst of this prison, I'm pressing on. I'm pushing. I'm planning for the future. I've got goals. God's promises are still true to me. On the inside, he was still pressing. He didn't lose that fight. You know, it was interesting. I actually like watching boxing, and I watched a couple of years ago. It was a great fight, and it was Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. And this was their first fight. And in the 12th round, at the start of the 12th round, Tyson Fury was winning the fight. But out of nowhere, Deontay Wilder, who's got this just incredible right, he's just an incredible right hand, knocked him out. And he just went bang, hit the deck. Now, Deontay Wilder had knocked out everyone but one of the people he's ever fought. So it's almost like whenever you face Deontay Wilder, you get knocked out. And he turned around and he clocked Tyson Fury and boom, he went down. No one had ever gotten up from a punch from Deontay Wilder like that. And even the commentators are saying it's over, it's finished. Deontay Wilder walks off into the corner strutting, thinking it's all over. And at about the count of seven, it looks like Tyson Fury's knocked out. And all of a sudden, he just kind of rises up like this and stands up and he's okay. And he sees the round out and manages to salvage a draw and keep his undefeated record. And I just had, before preaching this today, I really had a picture of some people. It was like you were knocked out. You look like you were dead and buried. You look like you were finished. But I saw that Christ came and he filled you with the life and joy that you needed and the strength to get you to rise up again. You'll be amazed at how quickly he can raise you up. You might be in a situation that looks dead and buried. You might feel dead on the inside. But I'm here to let you know, Easter reminds us that we serve a resurrection God. He can bring dead things back to life. And the Apostle Paul in this situation, unjustly in prison, it's not fair. He's obeying God and all these things happen to him. He still says towards the end of this letter, I'm still pressing on. I'm still pushing. I'm still fighting. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. And I don't know who needs to hear this, but there's somebody needs to hear this right now, that you need to rise up on the inside and start believing God again. Let the fight come back into your spirit. A number of years ago, I was going through a difficult season in my life and ministry. Trish and I were. And basically, we had a number of really difficult things happen which drain your energy. And then all of a sudden, one day, something just came out of the blue and it almost like knocked us down for the count. Normally, you know, church, that I normally pretty well share every story with you that's ever happened to me. But with this story, I'm not going to share the details of it. But suffice to say that it was something that happened and that it just really disappointed us. and it felt like it really knocked the wind out of my sails. I went away on leave for a couple of weeks, and the whole time I was completely flat. I felt completely defeated. And I remember thinking to myself, how am I going to go back to my ministry job and still have what I feel is the drive that I need to continue to lead it and to continue to push forward? I remember on a Sunday, and I was going back to work on the Monday, and on a Sunday, Trish and I actually just happened to be driving past a church that was about to start their service. And it was a church that we had heard of, and so I turned to Trish and I said, babe, why don't we just pop into the service? So we went into the service, and I remember just walking, and nobody knew who I was, and we stood to the side, and they just started worshiping, and it was a worship night. And they just started playing the first song. And I don't know how to describe this to you. I know many of you who are watching this, you've experienced this before. But as I lifted my hands, the only way I could describe it is that the burdens and the heaviness started lifting off me. And the life and the hope and the faith and the strength started filling me up again. And I remember it was almost like God was pouring his oil, his presence, deep down into my spirit. I'd had 3 weeks of rest, but I still wasn't right. But after this 5 minutes of this one song, I just felt completely filled up. It was almost like the heaviness lifted, the defeat lifted, the discouragement and the despair lifted, and life and joy and strength just started flooding my heart. I remember when we left that place, as we walked out the door, I turned to Trish, I said, I'm ready. I'm ready to go back to work now. A couple hours before, I'm still feeling defeated. I've got no fight left in me. I still feel like I'm empty and I feel like I'm flat and I'm dead. But one encounter with God's presence, and all of a sudden I just started feeling the life and the joy and the strength that I needed to keep pressing on. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but somebody's watching this. You're feeling empty, flat and defeated. I want to let you know that God right now, even at the end of this service, he's about to flood you with his presence. He's going to fill you with his life and joy and strength. At the end of my message, the worship team is going to sing another song. And as they do, I want you to lift your hands and I want you to worship. And we don't worship him because of our circumstances. We worship him in spite of our circumstances. And in spite of your circumstances, you can still have the fight, the life, the joy, and the strength that you need to continue on. In the midst of this tough time, the Apostle Paul didn't lose his faith. He didn't lose his focus. He didn't lose his fervor, and he didn't lose his fight. And my prayer is that for you, King's Church specifically, but everyone else watching this, my prayer is that when the prison door opens for you at the end of this season, you will come out of it full of faith, full of fervor, focused, and full of fight and strength so that you can power on into your next season. So right where you are at home, I just want to speak over you and prophesy over you right now. Lift your hands to heaven right there at home, and I'm going to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every single person. And I pray for those that even before my message were feeling defeated. I pray that you would fill them with life, with joy, with strength, with the faith that they need to continue on in the things that you have for them, Lord God. That what they're going through, they're pressed on every side, but it's not going to crush them, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord, that even on the inside, they're pressing back and pressing on towards the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe you're watching this message and you yourself are watching, but you have not got a relationship with Jesus Christ. Can I tell you that being Christian doesn't mean everything goes perfect in your life, but you have a relationship with a living God. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He sticks closer than a brother and he loves you. And maybe you're watching this and you don't have a relationship with him. Well, even though you might be many, many miles away from me right now, we can stand in agreement and believe for you to come to know him. All you've got to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, and the Bible says you will be saved. So right where you are, if you want to give your life to Christ, all I want you to do is say this prayer after me. Pray this. Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me for being a sinner. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to come into my life. Be my Lord, be my Savior, be my best friend. Help me to live for you all the days of my life. And I thank you that today I'm joining your family. Awesome. Praise God. Wherever you are, Make sure that when this season passes, that you find yourself in a great church. If you're near one of our King's campuses, you're always welcome to come and join us and be a part of the King's family. Let's leave this place worshiping and praising God and have a fantastic week. God bless you.
Thank you so much for joining us. Stay tuned for new messages weekly. You can keep updated on what's happening in the life of King's Church by following us on social media at King's Church GC. Be blessed.